Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Man, I know, you know, a lot of the guys were nervous about having to get up here and sing and be in front of everybody. And I know that's hard. So I'll share a little bit with y'all about myself and how I came to Teen Challenge. I struggled with drug addiction for several years. It took a lot from me, and it took a lot out of me. I actually went to high school here in Clarksville for a little bit at Northwest. It's actually kind of where my trouble started. I had an injury. I hurt my shoulder, had to have surgery. And when I had the surgery, they put me on prescription painkillers. So a couple weeks it went by, I wasn't really hurting a lot anymore, and I kept my medicine for a few days. I kept it for a few days. I had like a couple days worth of them, and I don't know what came over me, but I was at school one day, and I just decided to take all of them. I think it was three of them, all three of them at once. And that started, you know, I'd been searching for a long time for just something to numb the pain, get over the pain. I had a fairly rough childhood. I grew up in foster care most of my life, from the time I was 7 till the time I was 18. You know, I got taken away from my parents for dependent neglect. And I actually got adopted when I was 12. And that lasted about 2 years. And I ended up getting taken away from them for the same thing I got taken away from my biological parents for. So at that point, I was kind of done with the whole getting adopted. You know, DCS, they don't want kids to age out. They want everybody to get adopted. But at that point, I was old enough to tell them no, that I wasn't going to. So I took that pain medicine, and that started probably a six-year stretch of just destruction. Destruction. It started there with marijuana. And then about a couple years after that, I found some harder stuff. I'm not going to name it or label it. But it took a lot from me. I went to jail for the first time when I was 20. Got in a lot of trouble. Kept getting in trouble. I had a daughter during that same time frame. And, you know, I went in front of the judge one day after I had violated my probation on a 3-year sentence. And he knew the situation with my daughter. DCS was already involved at that point. And it was one of the hardest things I had ever heard in my life. I'm 20 years old, and I'd been sitting in jail for 2 months already. And the judge told me, he said, "I'm not letting you out. You're a menace to the community." And I was 20 years old, and I sat there for about 2.5 years. I sat in jail. Then I finally got out, got a chance to try and get my daughter back and everything like that. And I failed again. I wasn't quite done yet. Had to go back to jail again for about another 8 months. Finished. Got out. 4 months. Back to jail for another year. Same thing over and over. Just a repetitive cycle. I was not done yet. During this time, that last time, before I went to jail, I was so low, I had lost custody to my daughter at this point, lost all my rights. She got adopted because her mother wasn't doing the right stuff either. And during this time, I was at my lowest point, completely low. I tried to, not only tried, but I took my own life. And, you know, it was at that point after that when I woke up in the hospital and couldn't really remember what had happened. And then it started coming back to me. And ever since then, that last year I was in jail, I knew that if I did not do something different, if I did not change, that I was going to die. And that's, I didn't want that. I didn't want that at all. So the way it kind of worked out, it worked out perfectly. At the end of my one-year sentence, I decided that I was going to go to Teen Challenge. I didn't really know a lot about it. I found out when I got here. But before then, I didn't know a lot about it. And the way it worked out, it was so perfect. I was actually scheduled to get out on a Friday, but nobody was going to be able to bring me till a Monday. And I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to get out and have that time to possibly mess up and then not go. Because I knew myself. I knew I wanted change, but I also knew myself if I was in an environment where I was used to messing up or used to doing something that I shouldn't do. So they actually worked it out to where I could stay in jail. I willingly stayed in jail an extra 3 days so I could come straight to Teen Challenge and not have to worry about going home and messing up. And when I got to Teen Challenge, if you're not used to structure, if you're not used to rules and everything like that, well, I'll tell you, Teen Challenge has them, a lot of them. And I struggled with it for a long time, and I know all the guys do when they first come in the first few months. They struggle with it. It's hard. You don't understand it. None of it makes any sense. It makes you angry sometimes. And I fought it. I fought it hard. I came in with a lot of anger. There were several times where I should have been kicked out. It was close to that point a couple of times. And I finally got to the point where I'd kind of faked it till I made it, or so I thought. But I got about 5 months into the program, and I had a situation come up that showed everybody where I was really at. And I had an outburst, and I got discipline. In Teen Challenge, you get discipline. If you get in trouble, you have to do some write-offs, and you lose your privileges for a while. A discipline case usually lasts four days for a minor one or 2 weeks for a major infraction. I got discipline for 2 months after that. So it was at that point where I really decided, okay, what do I want? You know, I know that I don't want to go back to what I was doing and live the way that I was living. So discipline isn't fun. You lose all your privileges. You have to do write-offs. You can't feel your hand after a while from writing so much. And it was at that point that I really surrendered to what God was trying to do in my life. And, you know, it was at that point that I felt a great relief and none of the rules, anything that we had to do, it didn't even matter anymore. It was so small and so minuscule compared to what God was trying to do in my life that it didn't bother me anymore. So I got the opportunity when I was in the program to go on a mission trip to Guatemala. And it was really, that was one of the real points where I felt God was calling me into ministry and to give back to Teen Challenge and to stay on a staff. So I've been on staff now for a little over a year. Been with Teen Challenge altogether as a staff and a student for about 2.5 years. I don't feel like it's God's plan for me to go anywhere anytime soon. I said that word earlier, surrender. And when I think about surrender, that is the key turning point in all of our lives. Surrender. And we have a gentleman here, a student here right now, that when I think about the word surrender, he just embodies that word to me. Everything about him. He came in so angry, was so much. You could tell there was a lot on him. And it took him a while. He fought it tooth and nail every step of the way. But then it came to a point where you could just see it all over him. You could tell. The way he acted, the way he talked, he had surrendered. And, you know, for me, that's one of the greatest things to see that. I love working at an induction center. We get guys who come in either straight off the street or straight out of jail, and they're here for the first 4 months before they go to Memphis. And this is usually, you know, you see them put a little weight back on. The light comes on in their eyes again. It's awesome. Brother Ken, will you come up? going to have Brother Ken share his testimony with y'all. Here you go, brother.
Thank you. I'd like to first ask for a round of applause for Brother Pope. I learned a few things right then, too, I didn't know about him. And that was awesome. I've never spoken to a microphone, so if I mess this up, bear with me. My name is Ken Fuller. I was born in Hollywood, California, and I've been in Nashville the last 32 years. When I was young, my dad was in the entertainment business, and we traveled all over the U.S., and I've been out of the country. And, childhood, it was, I want to say normal, but I don't believe in such a thing as normal. Divorced parents, this and that. I found my way through my anger as a young man through sports, athletics, football, baseball, basketball, swimming, and got custody of my daughter when she was 5 years old. I was 26 then and moved to Tennessee, got sole custody of her from California. Her name is Chantel, and she just had my one and only grandchild a week and a half ago. And I got to go see him the day after he was born, and he is absolutely beautiful. Just saying. Okay, so anyways, my outlet I found as a young man was through athletic and through sports. When I moved to Tennessee, it was like a fresh start getting out of California. I stayed with my folks with a year, me and my daughter, and then ventured out and met a woman of my dreams, started a career, if you want to call it that, in the automobile industry. I've been in the automobile industry for a little over 30 years, and I also had the opportunity to participate in some professional sports. I've raced in 2X games, fought professionally for 8 years, got to do a lot of really, really cool stuff. Always striving for something to fill that hole, though. Now, I don't know what the hole was. I have a clue. Sports and athletics and martial arts, things like that, filled it, I thought. Being a single parent for the most part, all but 6 years of her life is a full-time job. And that took a lot of my time and a lot. But, after three marriages, through time, staying in the automobile industry and having great success and great blessings in business, but having... It's like when it got good, it just, something messed it up. I have an addictive personality. I was born that way, whether it's good or bad. I'm going to see it through. I see the good through, but I see the bad through all the way. Through injuries, I also was prescribed oxycodone and painkillers and come from an alcoholic background as far as my lineage. And I found that turned, we're all given to me from doctors, my doctor, one in particular, and I don't blame him a bit. I could have taken him or not, but I did. And it went from healing to an addiction. And as the kids got older and left, and there was less for me to do with them, I found that addiction taking me over completely. Alcoholism, addiction became my number one thing. It cost me dearly everything. So, finally got to the point after my third marriage and blowing a lot of money in a year that I found myself in a hospital bed at Vanderbilt. And I was in detox again, going through withdrawals again. Didn't feel like I had anything left to give anybody. Excuse me. And I wanted to end my life. Realistically, that was a viable decision at that time. And I called a friend, and he's a mentor of mine and a divine person. And God spoke to him, told me to call another friend that he had never met, who I hadn't talked to in a year, and they'd never met, two men that I love dearly in respect. And he made a call to his pastor, who is a pastor I've never met in my life. I've never been to this church. I don't know who they am. And his pastor calls me, interviews me. 30 minutes later, you know, I'm a complete stone-running mess. I'm ready to end it. And then the day after, you know, the Vanderbilt's throwing me out because, you know, they need the bed space. So my plan is just to kick it. And this pastor calls me back. And I've never met this guy. I've never even heard of it in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And before the day was over, before the night was over, I was at this place called Adult and Teen Challenge in Clarksville, Tennessee. Well, I don't know what it is. I've been to rehab a couple of times. It was one of those real expensive kind that the insurance card is $30,000, you know, a month. That was great. That was not rehab, trust me. And like Brother Pope said, I couldn't get myself even composed for a couple of weeks. The brotherhood here in this program is unbelievable. I just can't. Can't express enough how important that was to me to get through. So I did kick it and I did fight it, and my brother Pope stayed on me, and he's my best friend now. I love this guy. And it wasn't an epiphany moment. This program is hard. It's not easy. Not everybody makes it. Some people walk out. Some can't handle it. But I got to the point where, kind of like he said, you know, okay, what am I doing? Your brain starts clearing up after it's been fogged for so long and so many years. When that, your cognitive thinking kicks in. And then all of a sudden you start remembering all the stuff you do. And then you go through remorse and guilt and shame. And I went through a tremendous amount of that. Huge. And but these guys stuck by me. And there are other things involved. You know, I don't want to make this an hour because I can. And I know I won't. I won't. I promise. There were other things involved, you know, them taking care of me in every way that I needed. Surrender. That was so hard for me. You know, you want me to wash cars? I have people that do that. No, now I'm doing it, you know. When I did surrender, it was like taking a load off. It was like an anvil being lifted off my chest and my head. You know, when I gave it to God, it's his now. You know, it's not mine. It's only, if I die tomorrow, it's his. If I live to be 100, it's his. And that's a nice thing to think, you know, the way to feel. So I want you to know that all your prayers and all your support for this program is warranted. It changes lives, literally saves lives, you know. It is a diverse, eclectic background. It's all of us. I'm a businessman. We have guys from the military, guys, like I said, come in from prison, come off the street, you name it. But we're all one. We're a family. We're a team. We're a brethren. And this program, once you surrender and once you go with it, all of a sudden those rules that drove me absolutely crazy that I wanted to lose my mind over, I get it. And now I don't even, like he said, I don't even think about it. Matter of fact, I like the fact that I take pride in whatever I do. If it's mopping a floor, yeah. Yeah, whatever it is, I have pride in it. It's my job. It's instilling a lot of things, and I've still got a long way to go on the program, but it's going by awful quick. But I want you to know it works, and we love y'all and appreciate you, and God bless you.
That's Ken's story right there is a great inspiration to me. It should be a great inspiration to all of us. To see how far he's come, it's really been a blessing to watch it every step of the way. One of the things I love about Teen Challenge so much, it took me a long time to realize it because, you know, I had been to secular rehabs before. What we call secular is anything that's not Christian. you know, your 30-day programs that work the what they call the 12-step, AA, the NA. Now, you know, it might work for some people. I'm not completely knocking it, but the thing that I struggled with so much when I went to the 30-day programs and rehabs that I did was that this is what they teach you. It's one of the biggest things they teach you. Once an addict, always an addict. And I struggled with it when I went through these programs. And basically my question was this. You mean to tell me the one thing that I'm trying so hard not to be is the one thing that I'm always gonna be? And it didn't sit right with me. It didn't sit well with me at all. Here at Teen Challenge, we stand on this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old is past and the new has come." So, that's what I always tell our guys. You're not a drug addict anymore. You're not once an addict, always an addict. God tells you that. He tells you, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation." You can shed that off. And what I struggled with so much about that is, you know, this is what they tell people. You know, well, if that's what you're always telling people, then you know, that's probably what they're thinking. And Proverbs says, "So a man thinketh, so he is." No, that's not what we instill here at Teen Challenge. We instill the Bible and what Christ can do for you and set you free. A little bit about Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge, compared to those secular programs I was just talking about, the success rates are off the charts when it comes to Teen Challenge. There was a study done by Evangel University that said a year after graduation, 78% of graduates reported not using again, compared to the national average from your secular programs of 3 to 10%. Percent of graduates 1 year after graduation reported no new legal troubles. And even further than that, you know, 25% of graduates 1 year after graduation had enrolled in new education. I myself am going back to a school. It's called TSOM, Tennessee School of Ministry. And I never, 3 years ago, if you would have told me that I would be up here talking to y'all about Teen Challenge, that I'd be sharing what Christ can do for somebody, and that I'd be enrolled in a school of ministry, I probably would have laughed at you and told you that you don't know what you're talking about. But God. Brother Dustin, would you come up? I'm going to have Brother Dustin share his testimony with y'all. This is actually Dustin's last week with us. He's about to move on to Memphis. He's come a real long way since he's been here. We're proud of him here.
Okay, let me start off by saying, just so I can get this out of the way, if you're looking up here at me and I look very uncomfortable, don't worry, it's because I am. So, not real good at this public speaking thing, so I'm just going to jump right into it. My name's Dustin Puckett. I'm 26 years old. Born in Cookeville, and, you know, started off on a pretty rough start from the beginning. Had a pretty rough childhood. A lot of abuse went on in the home, not necessarily to me, but around me. And the reason I like to share that part is, at a very early age, I developed a lot of anger and hate and just every negative emotion you could possibly think in my heart from a very early age. So it kind of set the pace for my life at first. As I get into my teen years, started falling into the wrong crowd right off the rip, and started to develop a drug addiction. And that carried me on into my adulthood. And it was rough the whole way, you know. I stayed in jails, group homes, juvenile facilities, you name it. You know, I was living a very destructive life and just really had no good direction or anything good around me at all. So harboring all that hate, you know, caused a very deep drug addiction, which caused a very deep depression, and the depression fueled the drug addiction. The drug addiction fueled the depression, so it just got worse and worse up until the point that I actually overdosed and completely my heart stopped. But, you know, thank the good Lord I was brought back. And I don't like to think that God ordained, you know, me having an overdose, but I like to think that he brought me back out of it. You know, it was just a thing to make me realize I have two choices. I can either change the way I'm living or it's going to be the death of me. It's just fact of the matter. So as I'm in all kinds of legal trouble in jail, you know, I remember praying to God. I said, Lord, you know in my heart that I won't change, and I don't know how to do it. I don't understand how to change at all because I've been living this way for so long. So please just make it happen. And you know, before you know it, just little things that was said from people, they're like, you know, had whispered Teen Challenge in my ear. And thank God, so I tried to avoid Teen Challenge at first by, you know, seeking out other rehabs and seeking out other things. And the judge kept telling me, no, that's not long enough. It's not going to work, until finally I come upon Teen Challenge. And before you know it, the ball started rolling. And there had actually been some financial problems coming up as far as me being able to afford the program. But God also stepped into my life and made it to where I had a scholarship to come here. So that was the turning point in my life. And when I first got here, it's a very shocking thing because, like I said, I had a very negative background as far as, you know, my environment. So when I got here, it was very much culture shock to see people who tells you to leave your shame and burden at the door and we want to love you back to life. It was just very surprising to me, so I didn't really know how to take it. But there come a point about 3 weeks after, 3 weeks to a month I was in the program, you know, I finally submitted to what they had going on. And through that, I started seeking God and listening to the things they was telling me. And, you know, all that things that I harbored from my childhood, hate and anger and depression, I finally started to pour that out. And God started filling my heart back up with love and just a sense of peace like I'm not used to. And it's just overwhelming. And so as far as Teen Challenge goes, I owe Teen Challenge my life as far as that goes. They've taught me how to, they've done a complete personality overhaul. And I thank God for it every day. And my testimony's still changing every day. You know, I still have a long way to go, but thank God I ain't where I used to be. Thank you for your time.
So I know I shared with y'all at the beginning how my story of taking my own life. Brother Ken shared with y'all that he had those same thoughts. And Brother Ken, actually, his first few days here, you know, Brother Ken said some things that were very borderline for us to be able to keep him here. But we kept an eye on him. We watched him. And You know the story. He surrendered. Brother Dustin just shared a story with you about how he overdosed. His heart stopped. He died. But he's sitting here because of God. We were in one of our prayer schools the other morning, and I had a student ask me a question about God performing signs and miracles and wonders. And before I had a chance to really answer him, another one of the students popped off and said, "You're a miracle." That's absolutely correct. Each and every one of these guys standing before you, sitting before you, is a miracle. You know, I was done living, but God wasn't done with me yet. He had something that I needed to complete. And I now know what that is, you know, with the men at Adult and Teen Challenge. Brother Dustin also mentioned how he had some financial struggles coming in. You know, a lot of our guys have that, whether they bridges with their family, or they just didn't really have any support to begin with, they have that problem. But we're not in the business of turning people away who want help. That's not what we do. We find ways, we make the funds, whether that be through fundraising, a car wash. That way nobody's turned away. We also have a sponsorship program. I think some of y'all here already actually signed up for that. It's where you can sponsor a student each month. That's $40 a month. You'll have an opportunity to write that student. That student will be able to write you. You know, you can. For me, that was one of the biggest things. I didn't tell any of my family really where I was going, my dad or anybody. I just went. And, you know, I didn't have the greatest relationship with my dad, so I didn't talk to anybody outside of Teen Challenge for a year and a half. And I got a sponsor, and that was one of the big reasons that helped me stay. She was a godly woman. She encouraged me, wrote me Bible verses that I should read, stories in the Bible that I should study, and that really encouraged me, and it was one of the things that really helped me be able to push through and stay here at Teen Challenge. So we have that, you know. We don't want to turn anybody away because they can't afford it. We're not going to. I have a video that I want to share with y'all, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Cal. Thank y'all so much for having us today.
Your thing may not be drug addiction or alcohol or something else, but I want to tell you what, we've all got the same problem. And Jesus can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And what I heard them saying was that Satan was out to wreck, ruin, and destroy their lives. But that didn't happen because Jesus wants us to be set free. This verse popped out when I was hearing your testimonies today. This verse just kept coming back to me and said, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth. The truth about sin, the truth about Satan, the truth about ourselves. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. I don't know what your issue is. You may be angry. You may be here and you don't understand some of the stuff that's happened to you. And as a result, you've grown bitter. Maybe you're separated from the Lord today. That's what sin does. And you need that remedy for sin. And Jesus is that remedy. He is the solution. And if you are here this morning and you've never gone public, you've never surrendered. That's the key. You've never surrendered to Christ and Him alone. He will set you free. That's what Jesus said. And the place down in Savannah, where I first met Teen Challenge, Brian, they've got an 86% success rate. And Teen Challenge as a whole, you heard him say, is 78%. Nobody else is even close to that. Do you know why that is? Because Jesus is lifted up in this ministry. And so, you heard these guys take their stand for Christ, every one of them. You didn't get to hear all of them, but if you'll give them a minute, they'll tell you. And maybe you're here today and God brought you here to hear this message so that you would take your stand for Christ. The Bible says that we're all sinners and our sins have separated us from God. But the Bible also says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Scriptures tell us if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I will tell you, once you truly get born again, you've got a case of I can't help it, and you want everybody to know about it. Nowhere in Scripture. Well, as a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. And some of you are here today, and you need to take your stand for Christ. I want to give you just a moment to do that. And you just simply pray what we call a sinner's prayer. Agree with God about your sin, and that your sins have separated you from Him, and that you need Christ and Christ alone to forgive you. And then you surrender your heart and life to Christ, just like you've heard this morning. And if you'll do that, He will set you free. He'll do that. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice this morning that you would do that work of salvation. For those that need Christ right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give the faith and the wisdom for people right where they sit to pray and ask God to forgive them and surrender their heart and life to Christ Jesus by calling on Jesus to save them. We pray for salvation. We pray for sanctification. There are some folks here who are saved, and they need to get on the right path. They need to be set free from anger and bitterness or some other negative thing that Satan wants to pile on them, and they need to come and just pray and let God work. This is your time, Father. And I pray for those, Lord, who need to take their stand for baptism. Baptism points to our salvation. It doesn't save us. But it says to the whole world, I now belong to Jesus and I don't care who knows. And maybe there's some here that need a church home. Oh God, do what you need to do here today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Andrew's going to lead us in a hymn of response. I'm here at the altar to receive you. Whatever God's laid on your heart to do today, we'll have counselors available, folks to help you, pray with you. But you've got to take that step. You've got to take that step. And you come as we sing. Father, thank you for these decisions today. Thank you for those who have come to get set free from past experiences, from pain, from suffering, from all this stuff, Lord, that the devil wants to heap on us. Oh, God, help us to turn to Jesus because He's our answer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.